Hello, my name is Vesa Juvonen. In this video, we will have a closer look how we can use the Microsoft Azure and Office 365 to build an on-demand asynchronous process or a handling of a process, which we can start it from the UI within the Office 365. This example is part of the Office 365 developer patterns and practices. And the easiest way you can actually find us is by going aka MS Office Dev BNP within your address, and that will redirect you directly to our wiki page or to the wiki page within the GitHub. And from here, in this particular case, this particular example has just been added on our code, so it's actually located in a dev branch. By default, you will actually land on the master branch, but from here you're able to switch between the dev and master. The difference between here is that the dev branch has a all the latest and latest code, but it really haven't been tested that well. And the master branch is something which will merge in every single month based on the changes within the dev branch. In this particular case, I just added this example in, so I'm going to go to the samples. And there's quite a lot of individual samples here. And in here, we are able to find the core dot. Let's actually find that it's web job. We can find it core.qq web job usage. And this is essentially showing how we can build asynchronous on-demand operations with Azure storage queues and web jobs. And this is a really interesting, it's a relatively advanced capability or advanced pattern, but it gives us a lot of interesting options. For example, how we can do a complex long-lasting operations to as part of the app installed event, or build a self-service site collection provisioning engine based on these requests, which doesn't have to be stored anywhere. That message is created by that self-service UI, and then we process that asynchronously within the web jar. Or we could, for example, collect an input from the Office 365 and reroute that to the on-premises without any reverse service. Secure reverse proxies and so on. And some of these we will release in additional videos and additional guidance. This is the most simplest example as it goes related on storage queue and the web job integration. So let's get actually started. The first thing what I need to do is actually create a one storage account. So I'm not going to use any of my existing storage accounts. So I'm going to create a new one just to show you how to get started. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to go to my Microsoft Azure portal, click new, storage, and a quick create, and let's give it a name like something like O365 BNP sample. Is that actually free? It's gonna make sure that that URL is free. I'm gonna do a Western Europe, my MSDN Ultimate, and replications go redundant. That's fine. And let's create a storage account. We need this information now to be then configured within our solution. So this is a really key piece of information, because we will have this message delivery mechanism set up by based on the storage queue accounts. But it's relatively easy to actually follow, and only thing what you need to do is create the account so it's actually available. You will then copy the needed information to your solutions. Now there's our account, and what we're interested in is actually to manage the information, essentially the storage account name and the primary access key. Before I'm going to actually copy this to the solution, let me open up the solution and show you the solution and explain what are all the solutions within the solution, within the Visual Studio solution, and what are these projects in here. So this is our solution. It's right now built using Visual Studio 2013 with the Azure extensions, 2.5 extensions. Obviously, these things are evolving all the time, so at some point this might be in Visual Studio 2015. We have here five different projects. Let me extend that one project so it's actually visible as well. And let's walk through these individual projects one by one, so we're able to understand what they are for. Obviously, we have the README, which has all the details, how do we set it up and how do we configure that, and the external references, for example, to this video. We have a helper project, and this is more or less to make sure that your storage connectivity information is correct. So we're able to test that you're able to send messages to the storage queue, and then we're able to go and check that storage queue out, that message is properly formatted, that it's included there before we set up anything else within the solution. The following project is then the SharePoint app project. So this is the one which is used within the, when it compiles to be a .app project, and whenever we add that to the SharePoint, it's essentially the introduction project for SharePoint that we have this provider hosted application hosted in Microsoft Azure. And the following project is then the common, and this is containing all of our business logic, for example, the business logic to add a message to the storage queue, which is a single few lines of code within the business logic area. It's just a common practice and good practice to proper allocate your code in the right projects. This is then our web job. So the web job project will be the one which is, well, the web job itself will be the one which is automatically executed or initiated whenever we add a message to the storage queue. And I'm going to show you how to debug that one and how we configure that to be up and running within this video. And then this is the UI. Essentially, the provider hosted application side will be hosted as a web job within a Microsoft Azure site. But in this particular video, we're going to just run that within the on-premises or using my IIS Express in a debugging mode to add that messages within the storage queue. Good, let's get actually started with the storage queue handling. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to extend that console send message and I'm going to open up the web config. In here, we see a one key configuration, which is the storage connection string. And this is now required for all of the projects which are adding items to the storage queue. And it's pretty self-descriptive. So in here, you're able to see an entries where you need to add your account name. So let's actually go and copy that one from our Microsoft storage. So that's our account name. I'm going to actually close that one. That's pasted in. And then we need to have an account key. Let's copy, remove that one, move back on our Microsoft Azure side. I'm going to copy that one to the clipboard and paste that in within the app config. And there we go. If now everything is properly done, let's make sure that I'm closing up that tag. Yes, I'm properly. And if everything is now properly done, we're able to add items within the storage queue for processing. And in this particular case, it's just adding a item called a site modify request. Let me zoom that slightly. Let's close that one for a while before we actually use it. There we go. It's going to actually take the breakpoint away from the UI, so we're able to follow what we're doing. Slightly adjust, and there we go. So what we're doing is that we are creating a data object called site modify request. It has two properties, requester name and the site URL. I'm just entering some random values here. So the requester name is being Kaiser-Sosse and the site URL is one of my dev sites and in one of my tenants, just to make sure that message is properly added. That data object itself is just a typical simple data object. Where we have the needed properties. In this particular case, we only need a site URL and a requester name. Well, to be technically correct, we don't actually need to request a name, but I'm just adding that one in so we have that complex data object passed into the storage queue. So let's add a breakpoint here and let's actually start executing this. So what I'm doing is I'm right-clicking that project and choosing debug and a start new instance. So I'm able to essentially test that my storage queue is properly created. Let's actually put that one in a slightly smaller area. There we go. And there is my console application which starts running. Essentially, it's only there for calling this particular piece of code. Let's go one step forward and let's walk in the business logic, which is actually adding the item to this queue. So let me again adjust the font slightly so we're able to see what's actually happening here. So this is now essentially the five lines of code. What we do is that we connected that storage account using the cloud storage account. Well, using actually the cloud queue client. Essentially, we take that information from our application config, paste that in. We create that cloud queue client, or we will actually create the queue if it doesn't exist. And in here, we are able to see that I have a constant called siteManager.storageQueueName, which is now having that individual name, which we will use for the queue. But And obviously, like Jack, you can see here, we have a create if not exists, which means that if the queue doesn't exist already within the Azure storage queue, it will actually create that queue within the Microsoft Azure. And here what we're doing is that we are converting our modify request object, or we'll serialize that one to the cloud queue message object. So essentially what we do here is that we're adding that item to the queue, so it's waiting to be processed on the other side if we have running components. Right now we don't have anything running within the Microsoft Azure yet, so this message is going to be added on the storage queue for future processing whenever an item will be, or there will be a client which is reading that storage queue. So let's go one more step, F10, stepping forward, and there we go. That code has been now executed. What's now interesting is that if you have the Microsoft Azure SDK, I think it's 2.5. Well, some of slightly depends again. I'm running 2.5 right now. We can actually go and see the storage queues, and this is a relatively old capability, so most likely this is in the older versions as well. I can't remember when it was introduced. So I'm going to sign in to my Microsoft Azure account, if I can only remember my password. There we go. And what's going to happen is that it's in my Service Explorer. I'm connecting to my Microsoft Azure, and I'm expanding my storage account section. And right now we're able to see that there's my just newly created O365 BNP sample storage account. I'm going to extend that one. And then I'm going to have a look on the queues, and we can actually see that async host web operation queue created there. And that's kind of cool. I can have a look on the queue itself. So right now I can see and open up the queue entry, and we're able to then zoom in to the message. So we're able to see that message which I've added to the queue is working properly. It's waiting in the queue to be processed on the other side. So this is essentially now making sure that our storage queue is working properly. We're able to add items. We're able to then start processing items on the other side as long as the configuration is right. Excellent. So let's actually continue on the configuration side. That was the step number one, just making sure that we get that storage queue information properly updated. So I'm going to use the information here. What was my account name? Account name. Let's go here. And what I'm going to do is then we're going to go to my provider hosted application site, and I'm going to open up the web config for that one. Because in here we actually have the exact same storage connection string setting. So I'm going to zoom that slightly. We are able to see what I actually have here. So I'm going to paste in the account name properly, and then I'm going to go and take the account key as well. Copy that one to the memory and paste that in to the web config. To the web. Well, you could always absolutely copy the whole key, because the key is exactly the same, the storage connection string. And let's have a look on the code. I'm going to do an F5 for this one in a second, but what we're doing essentially within the code is that we are using that same business logic which we used within the console application as well. We do have two different options. So what we're doing here is that we have a synchronous option or the asynchronous options. I'm going to put a breakpoint in the right locations. The synchronous option is the one which is executing our business logic without the asynchronous process, essentially meaning that the end user need to wait for the process to be completed. And the asynchronous process is then the one which is taking advantage on that exact same add async operation request to the queue method. So it's essentially taking advantage on the same method which we had on the console application. Let's do an F5 for the whole solution, so we get it deployed to the Microsoft Azure, to the Office 365. So it's asking me to sign in, and we're going to actually quickly do that one. There we go. And that's not enough. It's going to spin up a browser. In my case, it's going to be IE, and then it's going to ask me to sign in again. So I'm going to sign in. There we go. And this signing in operations obviously are dependent on, do you want to keep me signed in or not. And there's multiple reasons why you wouldn't want to do that or why you would want to do that. In my case, I'm just signing in every single time. I'm gonna actually clean up some stuff here because these are from my previous demos. So this is actually what the solution is in practice doing. But in this particular case, it didn't actually ask me to trust the application, which is indicating that there might be a problem. So let's do a small cleanup and let's make sure that it's actually forcing me to trust the application properly. So I'm going to close the IE, and this is actually quite nice debugging, or let's say a way to fix every now and then if you have challenges within your application. So what I'm going to do, and this is related on the fact that I've been doing testing within my environment. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to update the version number of my application, and this will essentially make sure that my app will be reinstalled. Essentially, that trust mechanism will be re-established, which will then update my app IDs and make sure that app IDs and app secrets and everything else is properly updated. There we go. Installation is actually starting. Installation in progress. Web config updated with the client ID. It's actually indicating that the web config had been updated. That's fine. I'm going to re-sign in to the app, to the tenant. There we go, and signing in, and now there's the trust happening. And in this particular case, we are asking a full control to the site because we're going to create a new library, document library to the site itself. So we need to have a relatively high permissions for this particular site itself where the app has been installed. And this is a typical patterns and practices example. So we want to concentrate on explaining you the scenario, not actually explaining how this would be working in production, because most likely in production, you wouldn't really have a two buttons here and a text which is explaining something. But this is more about showing you how things can be implemented and what is the difference between synchronous and asynchronous operation. So I'm going to click the synchronous operation and let's work through the code. We had that breakpoint already waiting within the Visual Studio sign. We're taking loading the information about the current user. We are getting or mimicking the asynchronous operation as well. And then we call site manager perform site modification. And this is actually the business logic, which in this particular case will be executed in a synchronous way by our provider hosted application. But in an asynchronous process, we will actually take advantage of that web job executing this functionality. And I do have a 20-second, sorry, 10-second sleep time there, which is then during that time it is showing the working on it. It's mimicking the end user behavior taking, well, it's mimicking the operation to take a while. And the synchronous operation is now completed. I'm going to click proceed and just making sure that everything is working properly. We're able to see that we have a new document library created within the site with a unique GUID. So this is just to mimic a long-lasting operation, and then that we are doing something as part of the business, in quotes, business logic in this particular case. So we're creating a new document library with a name of GUID, really not that interesting. And the requester is something which we added actually in the description of the document library, just to mimic a business logic operation. Good. We haven't yet configured the web job, and the web job haven't been deployed. So therefore, I'm not going to actually click the asynchronous operation. And let's actually go and synchronize and deploy that to be available. So I'm going to stop the debugging, and then I'm going to do copying some information. So first of all, we now have a client ID and a client secret, which are now valid, and they have a trust against that particular site. So I'm actually going to take them and I'm going to copy them to the app config of the web job. And we're going to update that the app config file of the web job accordingly, because this is taking advantage of the app-only token and connecting asynchronously to that particular site, or well, the site giving us a URL, and then executing stuff without the end user context. Then there's two other settings which we need to update here, and that's the Azure Web Jobs dashboard, Azure Web Jobs storage. I'm going to update this. I'm going to actually eventually go to the Microsoft Azure console and update this properly. But just for the showing how this should be updated. I'm going to actually go here. I'm going to copy the PNP sample. Let's go to the appconfig and update. Oh, wrong appconfig. It's this appconfig. So let's update the account name and the both of them. And let's go to the and copy the key as well. There's the account key value. Copy that one and let's go and paste that in. Paste that into our connection strings. Now, what you might be already thinking that, wait, why do we actually have two different entries and two different settings for the app config with well for the web jar? And that's because the Azure Web Jar storage is the one which is actually hooking the web jar to the right storage account. So we're able to actually process, or to be honest, our web jar is getting executed automatically whenever there's a new message within the storage queue. The Azure WebJAM dashboard is then something slightly different. That's for logging purposes. And that's where you can actually then see whenever the web job has been executed, you're able to see additional information what the web job might be logging. And it might be actually, adding information. You're able to rerun also the web job manually from the Microsoft Azure side if needed. So those are now updated. Let's also have a look quickly on the code before we deploy this one to the Microsoft Azure. What's interesting with the web jar is, especially in this particular case, because we want to create a continuously running web jar, this is not a typical console application. What we do is that we do a web host instance when we do host and run and block. Essentially, it means that the web jar will be then running all the time. It will be waiting to be called and executed whenever there's an item within the queue. The actual queue, hooking up to the queue, is surprisingly actually easy. And this is what we have in the function side. So we have a method called processQueueMessage. And within the processQueueMessage, I'm clicking something else, processQueueMessage, we have a queue trigger, which is set to be the same queue trigger as for when it were the same queue name as what we actually added those queues in. So as long as the storage the storage account and the storage queue name will be matching. Essentially, the storage queue name will be matching to the queues which we are creating to the Microsoft Azure, meaning async host web operation. I'm going to close that one. And let's make sure that our queue name is actually matching. There's our queue, and there's our queue, and there's our async host operation in the Microsoft Azure side. There we go. The queue name is matching, so therefore this is essentially making the connection with the web job itself. And that's the only thing what we need to do. In this particular case, the first line within the code, what we're doing is that we're logging that the new site modification request has been received, and then we output that information. We are actually able to see that one from the Azure logging anyway. Then what we do is that we create a app-only token access. And then we call that same site manager perform site modification using that app-only token. So essentially, this one is then the same business logic which we used from the UI for the synchronous operation, which is having a 10-second sleep, and then it's creating that doc library with a GUID name and adding that name of the request to the description of the library. So quite simple stuff in the end, but again, this could be much more long-running operation. It could connect to the on-premises, it could provision stuff in the on-premises, it could do whatever other operation, because it's running in a synchronous way. The end user doesn't have to wait this to be completed. How do we get this one then installed and up and running? So I'm going to actually just clean up some stuff. Let's close up the solutions. I'm going to close up some of the solutions. Some things to be in to be aware. I'm going to extend the references underneath the web job, and then I'm going to activate the SharePoint client and SharePoint runtime. So let's have a look on this one. So underneath that web job, we have obviously references to the Microsoft client and Microsoft SharePoint client and SharePoint client runtime. So we get that SharePoint connectivity to work properly. The key point here is that these components are not by default in the Microsoft Azure. And what that means is that we need to remember to update the copy local true for these references, which are not by default in the Microsoft Azure. So that will make sure that when the code is running in the cloud, the code can actually resolve the references to these assemblies, and then the code can actually work properly. So that's already done for these components, but that's a good thing to remember when you're creating your own custom web jobs, that you need to remember that setting to be applied. And then within the Visual Studio, the easiest way to get stuff deployed to the Microsoft Azure is simply by right-clicking the web job and choosing Publish Azure as Azure web job menu item. So let's actually click that one, and let's see what's going to actually happen with that one. I don't have an existing Azure website, so what I'm going to do is that I'm going to connect to my Microsoft Azure. It's going to actually ask me to sign in. Well, it's going to actually use the same signing which I already did with my Server Explorer. I do have some existing websites, but in this case, I want to actually create a new website to be used as my host for my web job. And let's call this PNP sample async. There we go. That's probably I can't write skate that written properly. There we go. PNP sample async. It's a free URL. That's fine. Region. Let's put that in Western Europe because I'm located pretty close to that data center. And let's click create. And what's going to happen now is that within the Microsoft Azure, or this Azure website will be created to the Microsoft Azure. And then we're able to use that as the host for our web job. So every single web job will have to have a web site as the host where they are actually deployed. And then we're able to just publish that web job in to that website within the Microsoft Azure. The publishing of the web job does take a while, so I'm going to pause the recording for this one. So in here we're able to see that the deployment of the web job has been already started, and I'm going to pause the recording for waiting that to be completed. It's not a long-lasting operation, but it can take up to 1 minute, and I don't want to do my monologue while we are waiting for that one. So give me a second, and we'll be back in a few seconds. Good. Now we're back from the small pause, so it actually took 2 minutes roughly. At this point, what happened was that the Visual Studio was creating actually that new Azure website and then deployed our Azure web job to that web child site as well. The web child is already existing, so PNP sample async, and we can now go and use the Azure management site and actually see our new website already created. So let's go here, and let's have a look on the web jobs tab. So we're able to see our web job already deployed here as well. So let's see, there's some operations. That's the deployment operations for this particular web job. And let's go to the web job sections. And we're able to see then the web job configuration, and it runs continuously, which means that the configuration the process itself is running without an issue, so there was no compilation issue within the web job, which is already a good start. There's two things what we also probably want to do, which relates more on the real world and the production usage of your web job. So the configuration, so you actually what you want to do is you want to make sure that your connection strings and app IDs and app secrets are, let's say, in a safe way secured. That's the number one thing. And also that you can control them regardless of possible Visual Studio changing those values. So what we're going to do is that we want to actually copy that information from the web job app config and directly to the console itself. You can do that directly using the web UI. So I'm going to jump back on the web UI, going to the configuration tab in here. For that particular website which has been configured to host your web job. There is, however, an alternative option, so I'm going to actually show you that one as well. So we are able to use our Azure connectivity to Service Explorer. If I extend now the websites, it is refreshing, but underneath the websites we're able to see that new website, obviously, because this is now reflecting the real-life changes within the site. And then underneath that website, I'm able to also see that I have a continuously running web job called CoreQ web job. Web job usage job. So there's our web job, and then we're able to see that it's there's a web sorry website. We're able to see also that there's continuously running web job underneath that website. What we can do here is also we are able to right click and do view settings, and that's essentially giving us then the view the pretty much well not the say of the full set of settings what we have also in the web-based or the web browser-based UI, but all the key settings within the website level. So now I'm able to actually go here and copy the Azure Web Job dashboard entry as a connection string. Let's add that one in, and that's a custom type, and then I'm gonna go here and copy the web sub storage. I'm gonna set this to as a same value, just as well. You could actually use, for example, a different value. And why would you use a different value? Well, it might be that you have a multiple or tens and tens of web jobs running within your environment, and you want to have all of those web jobs using the same storage queue or storage account for storing the log information. And that might be so you have a one log list of all of your web jobs running, and then you can easily see and control those individual web jobs. For demonstration purposes, I'm going to put them exactly what we created to that account, which we created to the Microsoft Azure. Then in application settings, I'm going to add that app ID and app secret, which were already trusted for the browser provider hosted app site. So in this particular demo, what I did was that I essentially deployed the provider hosted website or provider hosted app, I got my client ID and a secret registered using that one. You can also pre-register or separately register a client ID and a secret using the app rec new, and then the app inf ASPX page to provide the permissions for the site. And that's more about how things are then done within the production. I'm going to save the changes, and that's going to restart the site, and everything should be now up and properly running. So let's actually go and double check the situation within our web UI. So if I'm going here, let's switch the tabs, just making sure that we refresh the information within the tabs, and everything has been properly updated. And let's actually go here, double check that what did we got in our configuration, are those now matching or not? There's our client ID and a client secret, and then there's a, let's actually switch that one to custom, so it's working properly, and that's probably the reason why it was in a not pro worker oh, not working properly. And let's do a save. Saving that change. There we go. And it's going to do a reset of the website as well. So it's going to recycle the website and make sure that all of the settings and all of that is properly updated. I'm not actually sure if it's going to recycle the website. Let's see, did it actually do that? Most likely it did the recycle of the website. Not 100% sure. It's going to actually have that one in the logs anyway, if you're interested on did it actually do that or not. If we now go to the web job section, we're able to see our web job being properly running. It's actually now in stopped state, most likely because there was a issue, and now it's actually in the running state. There was an issue related on my connection string setting. I had that one set as a SQL server, and that was the issue why it wasn't working properly. Now we know that our web job is running properly, and now if we click the logs section, I'm going to actually show that one more time. In the website, in the web underneath the web job, we have logs tab, and in there, if I click that one, that will redirect me to the logging UI, which is a completely different looking UI. But we're able to actually see then our requests running or the executions in here as well. And now. Now in here, We're able to then see what has happening, for example, to the individual executions, individual happening. That particular entry most likely got didn't execute properly because our connectivity information was not properly done. Right now we don't have any items in the queue, so let's go and create an item to the queue. And what we can do is now play and do an F5 and play with the UI, the provider hosted application UI, to show you the really the difference between the asynchronous process and the synchronous process. So I'm going to actually go and remove those breakpoints. Let's actually sign in first. There we go. And let's go and remove those breakpoints so we're able to actually show in practice the difference between the synchronous and synchronous. That's not the right file. That's the right file. As asynchronous and asynchronous execution of the long-lasting operation. There we go. Breakpoints removed. And let's move back on the browser. And there's our UI. So let's do another synchronous operation. What I'm going to do is open up my site as a new tab. And just for the purpose of finding the latest item, I'm going to actually go and delete the existing document library, which was created already as using the GUID. Well, that's just a app hub related a JavaScript issue, not interested on those bugs. And let's actually delete. Where's our GUID? There it is. And let's do a remove for that one. There we go. So now let's run a synchronous operation, which will do essentially that waiting time. Is it a 10 or 20 seconds? Really doesn't matter. But then essentially the end user is stuck on waiting that something is happening. This could actually take minutes, for example, if you're creating a new site collection. And most likely you don't want to have an end user to be queued on or waiting or blocked to be close to browser by showing that GIF animation. Synchronous operation completed, and most likely we can now see a new document library created to the host web, like it should be. There it is. That's now created. Let's go back on the site and test our queue processing and the web job processing and see what's the difference between that one. So, a synchronous operation, I'm going to spin up on that one. There it is. A synchronous operation started. End user can continue. We're now free to continue, and we're able to do whatever is needed. And then now at the same time, what's going to happen is that our web job was actually fired, and the web job execution was actually fired, and we can actually already see that newly added 19499. Well, there's actually new items as well. New items created. There it is. Document library created with the right settings and the right configuration. Let's actually go here. And we're able to see that there's a new item created just a second ago, which is properly created using the proper IDs and proper entries. And now if we actually go on the web job logging side in the Microsoft Azure, we're able to see those invocations. We're able to see show new indication in here. I'm going to refresh that one. And then we're able to see that in 42, 44, 43 seconds ago, we executed a request for the Vesa J SharePoint Trust Slides dev request to name Vesa Juvonen. What's really interesting about this one is, and then I can obviously have a look on the detailed locking of the web job and all of that information. This is a super neat functionality. I can drill in the individual lock entries in the web job as well. So what I can do also is that I can replay the function. So I can do something. I can use this UI here and do a request to name. Let's do something like BNB sample. And add that one entry to the, or replay the functionality. And there we go, our queue execution has started. And if we wait for a while, this has been now it's actually running. So our host and the processing has been running. And then we are able to see the end result after waiting a while as well. But the key point here is that now you can use this UI within the web job locking UI to see all of this additional information, all of the additional details, Let's see if we can actually get, there we go, request a new site modification request with the person named as BNP sample. And essentially we were able to replay that setting and replay the execution. And if we now go back on the process side, so let's make sure that we actually got a new entry. That's not the right process. We got a new entry again located in the recent, which one of them is the most recent. There's the most recent, and that one should then have the creator requested information set as BNP sample. And there we go, requested by BNP sample. So we were able to replay the whole execution just by re-providing the information for the web jar. And like mentioned, the key point here is that in this particular case, this is relatively simple business logic. But the key point here is that if your operation would take minutes, or if your operation would take, well, in the case of app installed event, you would start modifying the host web. There's a timeout of 30 seconds. And then your app installed event will be re-executed. In all of those cases, you would rather want to fall back on this asynchronous on-demand execution of your web jar, which will take care of the whatever customizations needs to be happening. So really, really interesting pattern and really, really powerful combination of using then Microsoft Azure tooling, the storage queues and storage and the web jobs, which is a super great capability and super easy to actually deploy as well from the Visual Studio, well, to deploy and also configure. And those additional locking mechanism is really, really great. So that's all we're going to do in this video. And thanks for your time.